We hear in the Gospel of Luke, they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Come join us today on The Way with DJ. Well, hello everyone, and I'd like to spend our time today continuing on the Sacramental Misconceptions series that I've been doing. Today we're going to be right on the heels of reconciliation that we talked about last time. We're going to talk about the second sacrament of healing, which is anointing of the sick. Now, the anointing of the sick, the sacrament itself, has a rich history. And I think if we take this podcast maybe from an historical point of view, and instead of talking about maybe a list of misconceptions that people have about the sacrament, maybe take it from an historical point of view and kind of point out how this sacrament has developed into the sacrament that it is today. When I was growing up in the heels of Vatican II, I was born in 1962. So back when I was growing up as a very young person, the sacrament of anointing of the sick was not even called anointing of the sick. It was called either extreme unction or it was called last rites. Now, with the advent of Vatican II, the whole idea, the whole theology around the sacrament changed a little bit. And it changed because of these historical developments that I'm going to kind of talk about in the podcast today. So if we go back then to the early, early history of the church, and we talk about the first anointing that James was saying, you know, that the words that the priest uses is, "Come bring me your sick." Well, Jesus, if we go all the way back to the scriptures, all the way back to the gospels, spent a lot of his time healing. He spent a lot of his time working on people and healing them, not only from their spiritual healing or their spiritual ailments, but also from their physical ailments as well. And then he gave that power to the apostles. He told them to go out and do what I was doing, go out and heal. And so after his death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, and when the Holy Spirit came down upon those apostles, you know, up until maybe about the 9th century, that's what the apostles and their successors, the bishops, were charged to do. They were charged to go and anoint people for their spiritual as well as their physical healing. Now, a lot of times what happened is that people were praying for physical healing that didn't occur. And so it then became a development within the sacrament of the theology of the sacrament of anointing of the sick, that it was no longer just the priest coming for healing, but also maybe coming for a spiritual healing that that was so important. And so this spiritual healing that they were doing with the sacrament then became more of a healing for them as they were preparing to die, as they were preparing on moving from this life on earth to their heavenly reward, hopefully. And so it is, you know, it became a sacrament for the dying. And so you see this in popular movies that, you know, it became the sacrament of last rites. And people would wait until the last possible minute to call the priest to have them come. Well, when there were many, many priests, you know, there was an opportunity for priests to be on call, not just to come to a hospital setting or a nursing home setting, but even come to someone's home and anoint them. and they wait, the people would wait until the last possible minute, until the person was, in many cases, unconscious, and they were able to come and be anointed and then have their sins and their sins forgiven and their way to heaven kind of paved for them. Well, we kind of went back after Vatican II to the whole idea of not just spiritual healing, which is so important within the sacrament, but also to pray for a physical healing of some sorts, so that maybe it's not maybe a healing itself from a particular disease that the person is suffering for or from, but maybe it is just instead of, you know, the physical healing and they're cured of their disease, maybe it is just to kind of help them in as far as a healing of dealing with and helping them get through their physical illness that they're feeling. So the whole idea of suffering, the whole idea of moving from reception of this particular sacrament to someone who is conscience, someone who is able to realize what is happening to them, and maybe coming to the realization that you can have family around them and people that are close to them around them when they receive this sacrament. So it's not just, you know, a sacrament just between the priest and the person that is receiving. Now, the whole idea, to kind of go back a little bit and to talk about how, you know, there was this perception that they would wait until the person's deathbed. And that had good parts and bad parts to it, because if you waited too long, the person could die before they received the sacrament. And then there were many, many people that would feel that if the person died, especially if they did not have their sins forgiven, if they did not have the opportunity to go to confession, that the person would die with sin on their soul. And so if it was venial sins, you know, they would spend a lot more time in purgatory than they really needed to. And then God forbid, you know, these sins were mortal, and they were, you know, separated from God at that particular time. And then they would have to go through, you know, these sins were mortal, and they were, you know, separated from God at that particular time. And then they would have to go through and actually, you know, worry about whether or not the person's soul was going to go to heaven. So people would wait, you know, to the last possible minute. And this, you know, had bad things about it and good things about it. It was their, you know, the person's last chance to receive grace to overcome sin. Now, after Vatican II, there was a whole idea that was put forth, and I think that was such a good thing, is that, you know, it's not just the priest coming and bringing his oils and possibly hearing the person's confession and then them receiving the sacrament, but it is an opportunity for priests and for other ministers in the church to visit all the people that are in need of care. So this would include people that are homebound. This would include people that are in nursing homes and hospitals. You know, this would include people that really need, you know, pastoral help, pastoral care. And so, again, it kind of goes to the whole idea that there is a hope that the person is conscious. The person is able to know that they are receiving this sacrament, and that hopefully, even if they're dying at that particular time, that it would kind of lend them to the idea that they can have a more peaceful transition from this life until the next life. And so that's kind of important. And then it kind of goes to the whole idea that, you know, there's a rite within the church, and this is not really sacramental, although it involves the Eucharist, so I guess it is. But, you know, the whole idea of viaticum, you know, where you don't even need the priest to come, where you can have an extraordinary minister or a deacon or someone who is in charge of pastoral care able to come and bring the sacrament to the person, to bring the sacrament of the Eucharist after they've received anointing. So that is a really important thing, too. They call viaticum, you know, food for the journey, food for the journey, food for the journey from this life to the next life. So that's really kind of where the sacrament is right now. There are still a lot of people that say, that call it last rites. There are a lot of people that say that it's extreme unction, that, and there are a lot of people that wait until the last possible minute. And we try to, you know, in the parish, at least in parish life, hopefully help them to kind of understand, hopefully help them under, you know, that, that it's not just for, you know, people that are on their deathbed, that it is for people who are diagnosed maybe with a terminal illness, maybe people that are suffering from mental illness of some sort, maybe someone who, you know, is just simply aging and feeling the effects of aging. You know, those are important parts or important points to this sacrament as well. And so it kind of goes to, again, the whole idea of, well, who really can be anointed? Obviously, it's someone that is on their deathbed or someone that, you know, has been in an accident or, you know, has been diagnosed with a disease, you know, with a terminal disease. Obviously, those are people that are able to be anointed. But we also talk about people that are older, people that, you know, again, are feeling the effects of old age. People that are going into nursing homes, people that are going into the hospital for any type of surgery, people that, you know, are suffering in any way, you know, especially from mental illness, from depression, from anxiety, all of those things, those are opportunities for people to receive the sacrament. And then it kind of goes to the whole idea that, yes, you know, they're having their medical issues and their medical problems taken care of, but it's also taking a more holistic point of view and helping them spiritually. And we all know, those of us that work in pastoral care, that, you know, when you take this holistic approach and you take and you work on the person's spirit and you work on their person's frame of mind and their emotions, you know, that the recovery and the help that it provides the medical team in helping them to, again, cure or treat an illness of some sort. So they all go hand in hand. The other big thing that is sometimes neglected with the sacrament of anointing of the sick that some people don't realize is that the sacrament itself does give you automatic absolution of sins. So that's why when someone who is, you know, suffering and maybe unconscious or maybe on their deathbed, when they receive the sacrament, they also receive the absolution of sins. But I also know a lot of priests that when they go and anoint someone that is conscious, that is able to confess their sins, that they do the sacrament of reconciliation or the sacrament of penance first, which is a good thing because it gives those the penitent, it gives the person an opportunity to verbalize their sins. It gives them an opportunity to kind of hopefully get all of those sins out there so that the healing can continue. And then after the reception of the sacrament itself, not only is there the absolution of the sacrament of reconciliation, but then there's the absolution of the sins maybe that the person didn't think of in that particular moment of confession. So that's an important part to remember about the sacrament as well. So it's kind of a 15-minute or so, maybe less, kind of synopsis about what the anointing of the sick is. Hopefully this kind of spurs some of you to go and receive the sacrament. There is no such room for abusing the sacrament. But we always tell people, especially as they get older, when their condition changes, you know, it's always a good opportunity to go and receive the sacrament as well. So I hope that this video has been helpful. Next week or next time, we will move on to the last two sacraments, the sacraments of vocation, sacraments of marriage, and the sacraments of holy orders. So until that time, I continue to pray for you I ask that you continue to pray for me and all those who minister in the church, and may God continue to hold you in the palm of his hand.